It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now two guys who don't know how to fill out expense reports, but one of them has the authority to approve them all. It's Patch and Switch.
I don't know which one's which.
What?
I don't have authority to approve anything, well, so that must be on you. I don't need authority for anything at this point.
At this point, I'm still hoping that we're going live on the stream. I've got commercials going on right now.
Is that anything good?
I see that we are live. Yeah. As a matter of fact, halfway through, I heard myself.
Nice.
So I had to go and mute it.
I thought that was weird. There's some kind of weird echo going on.
Yeah, the weird echo was that.
You know what it is? It's good having you back, Jared.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
So we have Jared, the sound audio engineer, the original sound audio engineer, is back and joining us again because we riffed Steve, the audio guy.
Yeah.
You rag on
after
him really
the
that
last
badly?
Episode at Microsoft Ignite, he got riffed, unfortunately. But Jared is back. He's off camera. He's on mic. He'll be doing our traditional laugh track that will come in. There we go. He'll be coming back every once in a while.
See our background laughter?
Yeah, we do. Okay. He's the background laughter. It's a live audio. It's a organic, artisanal laugh track.
Artisanal.
That we have.
Artisanal?
Artisanal laugh track.
Of course, we're in 25. It has to be artisanal.
Yeah. And in case you haven't noticed, we got this strange guy with a beard and an accent that's joining us here at the table.
These damn foreigners with their accents.
I know, eh? So that's, introduce yourself, sir.
So my name's Ian Foltz. I'm a content developer here at Microsoft. Finally, I don't have to work with you anymore, actually. I got to work with you for a couple of years. Finally you managed to get me on the blindfold and in the back of the car and, you know, bring me here to the bunker.
To the secret place.
It's not really a bunker anymore.
No, it's very swanky now.
I know, it is. It's a very good... I like what you've done with the place, though. It's nice.
It's not us. We don't have the budget to do
you.
It.
I was going
to
say, there's no way that you've designed this. You know, there's like color coordination and all this kind
of stuff.
Yeah,
they actually hired someone for that. It wasn't us at all. I don't know where the budget came from. I did not approve that one because it's not my budget. In case you haven't noticed, the big tall guy with the big hair, or nice hair, I should say, he's over across the pond. I think he's in your neck of the woods. He's over in London.
I hope he's drinking real beer if he is.
Well, he might be joining us from like a BrewDog location. He seems to be frequenting all the different BrewDog pubs that are over there now. Because Jared is now back looking after stuff, Steve didn't pass on the notes about how to bring in people with Teams and with Skype as of yet. So we have a reverse engineer to figure that out.
I don't think anyone's figured out the difference between Teams and Skype.
Yeah.
And how to, you know, link the streams, don't cross the streams, that kind of thing.
But this is the first time we're actually getting together. We everybody, we all burnt out during Microsoft Ignite.
I didn't. I was right here.
Well, that's because you didn't
go. They don't let me out much.
I know. They don't let you out.
No.
Just keep you in the back room.
I just kind of sat
here. You work
here
in Markdown. You just keep on writing the docs.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us got burnt out, and we just couldn't coordinate our schedules to be able to get ourselves back together again for some kind of a routine show for what we're going to be doing. So thank you for stepping up and joining in.
No problem.
You know, even though you were second choice.
It's okay. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
That's nice. We do, in case you haven't joined, well, I'm assuming you're joining us on twitch.tv/patchandswitch. If you're watching this on the Facebook embedded stream, you're welcome to join us over there for the chat room. We do have a few people in the chat, I do see, which is nice to see on a poorly advertised social environment. I got to take my glasses off so I can read this, which is crazy. You got absolute...
Absolutely.
That's a nice.
Even without your glasses on,
Chuck Rocks, Chuck Rocks Canada, DRS by Life, Val Temper's joined us, K.O. Beckman, Scott Ledwig is joined us. Nice to see you then there, buddy. Shady Panda, Stone Fisker.
Soren
Fisker. I just got to make my fonts larger.
He's not just the sound guy. He's also, you know, the guy who can read for you.
You know what? I need to troubleshoot something.
Is this because you were a PM for too long? It's like you're so used to other people doing these kind of things for you.
The issue I have right now is I've lost...
PMs can't read, can they? Huh? Uh-huh.
I've lost touchscreen capability on my Surface. My Surface
Book
2.
I
take my fingers, I try to do anything, it just will not work. And it's not a firmware update. It's not a setting I turned off.
It a user problem? Do you want me to try it for
you?
It could be a user
PFE.
It could be a exactly.
VNK has joined us. Virgo Pause, Visio MVP, Wireless Life CDN. And we'll see if other people happen to show up throughout the day as well.
And Scott's actually on the road in Louisville.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. Very cool.
Not in the St. Louis's.
Yeah. Hit the refresh page. Just getting there. Oh, getting there. Here we go. Coming in. Oh, and of course, Wireless Life says, invoke old man mode and enable magnifier. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. This is the Patch and Switch show. It's a random, crazy.
It
is.
I wasn't sure because, I mean, you've got
the
T-shirt.
I got the logo on
and
everything.
You've got the T-shirt. You've even got it on your lanyard and stuff like that. Okay.
Patch and I went through and have decided that we are going to go ahead and we have field tested these shirts. We're going to be enacting a miracle to try to coordinate some kind of purchase option if people actually want to buy these things. And then we're going to have...
They pay you or you pay them?
No, they're going to pay the vendor directly.
Okay.
And so there's no money that comes to us.
That's
and any money that's actually raised as part of this, we're going to donate to... I think we're going to be donated to one of the rescue shelters or animal shelters or something like that. Or maybe Girls Who Code or Diversity in Tech and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Diana Initiative. One or the other. We're not making a dime on this stuff. But people have expressed an interest in this, which I don't know why.
I mean, it is a lovely shirt. It really is.
It is a comfy shirt. Yeah. So that's nice. It's more than your average T-shirt. For the show, we basically go through a bunch of different segments, for those of you that are new, that we haven't been here in a while, going through five different segments that we're going through first of all. The very first one we do normally is what's called From the Trenches, mm-hmm. what we do and what we do for our regular day jobs. We still have not managed to pay Cameron, our buddy that's in the other room over there doing editor and creative motion stuff. He was actually going to create like little... bumper animation sound video things. I don't know if you think we could put those in.
We can.
Easy enough.
Oh, yeah. But it's just a matter of
having them created.
And having everybody have time to look at it.
Yeah, that's true. So
there are so many buttons next door that I want to push.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So walking through I can go do that.
Is this your first time in the studio?
I think I've come around like once, but it was a while ago. It was before, you know, all of the wonderful redecoration that's gone on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, we did find a new button. I want to see if we can keep this. This is going to be something that we're going to use.
Hide away when we're done.
I'm going to bring it in whenever I can. And so whenever... Joey has anything to say, I'll just buzz
like
him out,
it.
I think. Mm-hmm. I like that. We'll see that. Did you hear that?
You need to mic it up specially?
Of, yeah, I was just thinking.
Just like hit it like you mean it.
So, use it.
What I'm thinking is we could put a lav mic on
put
it.
Put a lav mic right next to it.
Specifically for that one?
Yeah, exactly.
It's more subtle than the air horn we used to run.
Oh, jeez.
That would do it.
That used to really tick off a bunch of people because they'd be listening with headphones on, nice mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, mm-hmm. they would go off. So,
yeah. Well, it's because he had it at such a loud level.
Yeah. Now, we could make these IoT enabled, I think.
Oh, God.
Okay. That would be the way. That would actually be a really good use of IoT.
It could
Because I haven't quite figured out IoT yet, but that would be perfect.
You know, I was thinking we could actually have a different level of audience participation.
They could buzz in.
Hit a web page or an IoT button, a Microsoft Flow, press the button, and then something would happen on the stage. Mm-hmm. It would be some random
thing. I've seen
thing.
Stuff where you turn on off the Christmas light. We actually were talking about that. I'm really concerned that when you hit this button, like there's lights all
somewhere
around this building that
in
are
building
going
25
mm-hmm.
that are going on and off. Mm-hmm. This is not the Halon release fire suppression
I would
system.
I would hope not. We'll soon find out when we go back if there's a whole bunch of people running out down the hallway. We'll know that we did something really, really wrong.
That could very well be true.
Wireless Life CDN wants to know, is the button clause proof?
Well, it does appear to be slightly ruggedized. Mm-hmm. It is only plastic.
Mm-hmm. Don't drop it, though.
It does have rubber feet. The good thing is it's secure because it's an isolated air gap network. There's
exactly.
Nothing in there.
It's got LRFs.
LRFs?
Little rubber feet.
Little rubber feet.
Is that the technical term for it?
You're good, man. I like that. Very good. Fun
it's
stuff.
It's the coconut water.
It is. The
which
coconut
I don't,
water.
Which I don't get. Yeah. I really don't.
We'll have a whole segment on coconut water if you want.
By the way, where's the lime juice so I can put that in here?
That could work. Lime juice and coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Shake it all about.
So,
we don't want any shaking.
Jared,
right?
I've missed you, buddy. It's been a while. What you been doing, man? What's your day job? What you been doing the last little couple of weeks? Well, since you've never been on the show before, so what do you do for a day job?
What have you been doing
that kind of draws your interest over the last week or so that's been an interest of you?
So day job is meant to be writing technical docs on docs.microsoft.com.
Okay.
So I mainly focus on Azure Kubernetes Service.
AKS.
AKS, yeah. There's going to be a wonderful set of acronyms. So Azure Kubernetes Service. I also help look after Azure Container Registry and Container Instances.
ACR and ACI.
other way around, probably. But yeah.
Base container register. Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
You
okay.
Know,
that's okay.
The I and the R.
Yeah. Vowels and stuff like that. So that's my.
Spelling is hard.
It really is.
Spelling is
hard. I mean, I'm, as a writer, I really struggle with this, to be honest. So
good thing they have spell check. That's all.
Yeah, if you trust that kind of stuff. But what language would you set your spell check in?
I set it for international English myself.
International English? You got all these extra vowels going in as well?
Yeah.
That was the hardest thing that I found.
What?
Was writing in U.S. English.
So all the docs are in U.S. English? I never even noticed that before.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Did not know
Yep,
that.
That's the locale, U.S. English. And then there's a whole localization team that then spits it off in a bunch of different languages. So technically there is EN-GB. Great Britain, of course. Yeah, I don't know if they throw the. Actually, I really want to go and check now.
So
I want to go and check now. What happens if I write an ENUS?
Okay.
And then when it goes through our localization process.
So
can I now? Yeah. Can someone go and pull up?
So right now, if anyone goes to a docs.microsoft.com document.
Yeah, and then
in the URL it says EN-US at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Just change the EN-US to EN-GB.
Yeah,
and see if they pull.
Yeah, do they spell things right?
Yeah, with O.
There's nothing humorous about our docs, though. So
it's got to be some funny examples you sneak in there once in a while.
I try my best. Yeah.
So can you think of one that you put in, like a little Easter egg that's a funny little thing, funny reference that made it through?
I think one of the Linux docs on SSH has an XKCD comic reference in there. Something like horse battery or whatever it was about some like secure passphrase that you meant to put in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one's still around.
Nice.
Unless it's been found. I'm pretty sure that one's still around.
Our live audience is going to go through and now try to find this one document reference that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So which documents have you been working on in the last week, just out of curiosity? I mean, you talked about the scope of the stuff that you do, but like did you actually write something this week? Do you write
always.
The doc a day? Like, what do you do?
A doc a day, at least. No, you're not my PM anymore, so I don't have to. Like, that pretty much was the cadence that you kept me on. That's why it's like, seriously, I don't get to go to Ignite or anything like that. Like, coming out and, like, I'm almost in daylight. Like, normally it was just in a room with no windows, and I was, like, you know, chained to it writing a doc a day. So we shipped a bunch of new conceptual docs
for
AKS, Azure Kubernetes Service. We did that about a week or so ago. That was the main thing I've been jamming on. Now we're moving on to something a little bit different.
Different.
A little bit different.
And now for something just, completely
exactly,
different.
Exactly. I'm going to kind of just
AKS
like
tease and the funny walk.
It and leave it like that. That would be good, actually. We have been trying to figure out doing videos and stuff like that to make it more...
engaging?
Make it more appealing and engaging, So maybe that's what we need to do. We need to come down to Channel 9 Studios and do some Ministry of Funny Walks and things like that, and then just slip them into the docs just to try and engage people more. Can you just do sound, or do you do video as well? just trying to think this through.
I'm an SRE.
Okay. Never mind.
I do Azure and I do hardware.
Nice.
Fair enough. Well,
nice.
Videos, hardware, right?
We could do that.
I've been jamming on some. I don't know how much I'm meant to actually talk about it, but there's some new stuff coming, shall we say? That's very interesting.
Okay. Very nice.
Watch this.
We're not going to be doing doc. We should do a whole show. Just
on
us writing a doc. Complete silence. We'll have a live stream of the Markdown editor.
It might not be silence.
Just
there's
see
normally
what comes
a lot
of it.
There's normally a lot of swearing.
We can have audience participation for doc writing.
We could do
peer review.
Do you think that would work?
I don't know.
I don't know if we've ever live written a doc before. We've done like doc bashes before where everyone like gets together.
It's just you're
like
inside the same
goes
room.
On about
everyone inside the same room with headphones on, so I don't understand.
That's just a normal work day. Yeah.
I was just thinking of a cartoon that I saw that talked about how the quality of code is based on the number of swear words per minute.
Mm-hmm.
The lower the number of swear words, the higher the quality.
Okay.
You think so?
Yeah.
I would have thought
it was inverse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
You
haven't seen me code. Although you also haven't seen the code that I produce, so maybe.
Joey's saying no to that idea.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
yes.
Is Joey online with us?
Yes.
Mr. Snow has joined us. I like that. Good to see you there, buddy, across the pond. Absablog in Lutely comes up with an idea. He's been actually calling out to Hacktober that's been going on. Anyone that submitted PRs to open source projects in Microsoft or at Microsoft became eligible for receiving a free gift, like T-shirt and stuff like that. A buddy of mine helped organize that and created the concept for at Microsoft. It's been around for a while at DigitalOcean and other places like that. But literally, if you made an edit to a document and it was a PR that was submitted in, you qualified to be able to get a T-shirt, which was kind of cool for hacking.
Not one of the patch and switch T-shirts.
Not one of these
ones, unfortunately.
No, no. The it was a different one, designed by Ashley McNamara, which does the raccoons stuff for developer advocates and then for advocates in general. So yeah, he's gone ahead and looks like he's got some stuff done for being able to get a T-shirt.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
So pretty much anything that's on docs.microsoft.com, I think at this point.
Pretty much
all
anything.
Of the
is
docs.
The reference documents too?
Yeah.
Is that the one that's not?
I think reference docs is one of the few, and like the SDK stuff, I don't think you can do PRs directly.
But everyone else, you
pretty
can.
Pretty much anything else, like any how-to, tutorial, code sample, conceptual doc, pretty much everything has this option to edit. So as you're going through, if you see things, edit it.
Top,
or if you have an
top
idea.
Top right-hand corner.
Yeah, top right-hand corner. You don't need to install anything on your computer. Everything's done within your web browser. Even if you haven't used GitHub before, like it's basically just a text editor. You don't really need to understand GitHub. And then if you got ideas for other things as well, love hearing what people out there in the field are missing.
Right.
So all the way down at the bottom, there's issues, and it's kind of just like a comment that you can leave, basically. And you know, you come out with a suggestion of what you would like to see, and that always helps as well, because when we get stuck in these little rooms, it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what people are wanting to do for real.
I
we just have to listen to what PMs.
Yeah, I know.
To do,
so I can definitely say that I have been the recipient of a lot of those suggestions and also of corrections too. I greatly take corrections in documents that I still tag as an owner.
Do you still own docs?
I still do. Actually,
you never move them over.
I need to
to me. It's nothing to do with me.
No, I know. But you need to tell me the little quick script that I can run to be able to figure out which docs I still own by doing a grep on the repo.
I
know who to pass them off to.
But normally you would always reassign to the guy who wasn't here.
No, I know. So I can make up somebody.
Just reassign.
I can assign them to Joey.
Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Even better if he doesn't know how to use GitHub.
For some reason, I'm still like the owner of like over a two dozen docs in the SAP space.
Yeah.
At the SAP space. Joey would be good at that one.
He would. Do you still have the Oracle docs as well?
No.
Everyone
the
loves Oracle.
Oracle docs I did pass over to somebody, and someone else has taken on them. That's Romit is looking after those right now.
Okay.
So that's good. The best part was is if you sneak in and you change the owner of a document, it counts as less than 20% edited.
It just automatically goes through.
So it automatically merges.
And they don't notify you either.
I know.
I've been on the receiving end of that, where all of a sudden it's like you'll start getting these notifications.
Yeah. When did I own this doc?
I didn't write this. I don't even know what this technology is.
So I think I'm going to – we need a term. It's not ghosting. What term would that be? If you're just, it's like I'm sliding into the DMs.
Yeah, pretty much.
dump
and run. It's a dump and run of
it's
a doc.
It's almost like swatting someone in docs.
Basically,
it's swatting someone in docs. Because then everyone comes after you.
It's a doc swat.
Yeah, everyone comes after you when there's problems with the docs.
I like that.
Especially if it's ones that you wrote yourself, then absolutely reassign them to someone like Joe.
Oh, man. I'm going to have so much fun with that after this show. Mm-hmm. It's going
to
be good.
Do you want me to help you out with GitHub?
No, I'm good with
GitHub.
No,
you're okay.
I'm good with
GitHub. Just making sure.
Another topic, though, we have. Is you're talking about Git is my team is working in Markdown stuff now these days.
And it's a wonderful language to work in.
They're using Git and they're doing pulls and they're doing PR requests and doing merges and everything's working out fine.
Mm-hmm.
I got pinged yesterday by a friend
of
mine.
They're not eligible for a T-shirt. Is that why they're doing it?
No, they're not.
Okay.
They can't get the T-shirts.
I just wanted to make sure.
It's non-Microsoft people get those T-shirts.
Correct.
Not Microsoft people.
Mm-hmm.
A guy pinged me online and just said, "Hey man, I hear that you have a one pager for how to use Git." And I'm like, "Oh, so
Git
you heard? I have a one pager document that's called a Git for Gits, written by a Git."
So this is really becoming legendary now.
It is
It was somewhat well known within like the PM space and within the Azure space.
Because it's literally
just
what you need to know enough to be dangerous to work with our docs platform, which is based and uses GitHub repo to be able to go off and edit documents. And so he did ping me recently. I'm like, "Well, I can send you the file, and then if you want, I can book some time to go through it with you." I need more coffee. I haven't done that yet.
Mm-hmm. It's that coconut water. I told you.
I know it is.
It's
lime
stuff.
And the coconut, man. It's
lime and the coconut.
So now the problem is now that I'm getting these meeting requests from people to do a review of my doc with them of how to work it.
So here's what you do.
What do
you take it from OneNote.
Yeah.
You put it in GitHub. And then when people send you a meeting request, just tell them to do a PR.
I know, but they're not going to know how to do it because that's what the document's about.
Well,
that's
kind of like, because then you'll figure out
the system is down. Send me an email.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes. Because they'll never be able to do a PR, and so they'll just quit bugging you.
Yeah, that could work.
Or you make the docs so good that they do know how to do a PR. That's how it should be, right?
I'm not that good of an author, I don't think. I need to work on that. I need to work on those skills. Got to work on those skills. Joey is definitely protesting the fact he's going to be the receiving end of a whole bunch of documents. Because once, you have no choice, actually.
Can I do that with mine as well, though?
Why not?
Hey, Joe, how good are you with Kubernetes and stuff like that?
Joey can do Kubernetes stuff.
Do you think so?
He could.
Actually, I'm doing a bunch of stuff on Azure Active Directory integration with Kubernetes.
I thought JFlow was doing that. Doesn't he do the Azure AD stuff?
He does some of the. I think he does self-service.
Self-service password reset and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Azure Active Directory is huge.
Yeah, Joey is an expert in that. Mm-hmm. So we should resign.
Just Azure Active Directory in its entire
breadth. Do a search and replace.
I'm just going to
search and redirect everything. A new PR just for that, mm-hmm. and Joey will get all the notifications.
Perfect. There I like go. It. I should have brought my computer with me. I'd do it right now. Mm-hmm.
You can do bulk replaces, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you don't have more than like 100 files at a time.
Okay, yeah. So there's a threshold before mm-hmm. a human has to be intervened for changes, and a threshold for how many docs are being touched on at the same time. I like that. Joey's doing a good job as a host inside the chat, I will say, because mm-hmm. it's very difficult for me to be able to look over here, look over there, look over here at the same time. It's rough to be able to see any comments that are coming up there.
I see all the comments.
You're good. Now, I'm scared to ask what you've been doing, Jared, just because, you know, we get together for a coffee and a little quick bite to eat before we come in the room in case we get locked in here.
In case.
And so we
always like a last meal kind of thing?
So you didn't tell me that part.
I didn't realize that.
It's just so we have sustenance.
I would have had more than one piece of bacon if I knew that was it.
You had a sausage patty, though.
I did as well. Yeah,
sausage
was a little
patty, so you're good. Jared was... You've been on call, right?
I've been
primary person on call.
Primary this week and backup last week.
Right. And so for those that are not
aware... He's smiling. He's not on camera, but he's smiling away.
So for those that are not aware, your on-call hours are...
My on-call hours are on the weekdays from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
So it's not too bad.
No.
Because you have follow the sun stuff. But then you have to do a lot of cleanup as people transition, if mm-hmm. I remember correctly, is the one that kind of gives you a bit of a pain.
And then on the weekend, I'm 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Right. So that's a little rougher. Are you on call tomorrow?
No, I was on call last weekend.
Oh, okay.
When I had somebody, a friend in town that...
Oh, okay.
And I hadn't planned on being on call.
Nice.
So
you're coming off of call.
I'm coming off call.
And
my brain hurts.
Your brain hurts, and you're basically just going to lock yourself in your house and then not see anybody and just relax for the weekend?
No, I'm going to go to Bellevue Brewing at 7 o'clock tonight.
He just told you he's come off call for a week. Okay. Where do you think he's going to go?
He's got it.
Soon as the shift's done.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will be imbibing of the... brewed beverage varieties.
Nice.
And probably having a pretzel at least.
At least a pretzel.
At least.
Now, one of the things you were mentioning on our little coffee chat before the show was stuff you've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
That you've actually become quite good at exercising your reading and interpreting of code. I didn't realize that was actually part of the job description what you were doing.
Yeah.
Because you manage the build systems.
I manage internal build systems. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you actually have to go through the code of other people to help them as to why things are broken.
Well, I have to prove to them that it's their code and not our system.
Oh, it's a proof.
It's a blame thing. Okay. That's really all it comes down to. Yes.
Got it.
Because it worked on their machine.
Ship that machine then. Yeah, exactly. Ship it.
Works on my workstation, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Got it.
So we have to go through and kind of help them through why the builds or the tests failed. And how it's a problem with the way they've designed it or their code or, you know, or is it a problem with our build system so that we can go in and fix that?
Right.
So it's I've actually had to become pretty...
Adept.
And I'll even say I'm nowhere close to a lot of the members of the team, but I'm getting better and better every time I'm on call.
Right.
So, which is almost scary.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Do you still rank the different issues as... Sev 1, Sev 2, Sev 3, Sev 4 type stuff?
Yeah.
Did you have any Sev 1s in the last week or so?
Not a Sev 1.
So
we
all,
didn't. Yeah. The Azure DevOps team, unfortunately, has had a Sev 1.
Oh, okay.
Which impacted us.
Okay.
Because that's typically, like if, for us, a Sev 1 is we have several regions of these build systems, and if we lose a whole region, that's a Sev 1.
Right.
So we haven't had a Sev 1 in a while.
Not too bad.
From that perspective.
Good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Myself, wise, I
yeah,
have
what
been,
have you been doing?
What do I do nowadays?
Just meetings and stuff like that.
I'm a team lead now, right?
So right, exactly. So you've gone from being a PM to now being a team lead. So it's like, does this decrease how much actual work is getting done?
For a PM down to a team lead. So you're
That's not true.
My tech,
I'm thinking more the opposite.
No, but my tech is going down is what you're saying. My tech level is going down?
I'm being really careful.
I know. Remember, you are a guest on the show.
I know, exactly.
Hey, Rick.
You're going to smack the
button. Your tech level's going down.
Oh, hey. Come on. So I have been...
No, you're getting more... I thought you were kind of wanting to get more back towards the tech, if anything.
Oh, totally I do.
Yeah.
But I've been bogged down with meetings
and other meetings and
one-on-ones. And mm-hmm. Well, one thing that I did was... It's a challenge... is hiring people. Mm-hmm. And so we had a new person join the team on Monday in Australia, and we've had challenges with the hiring process every time we've brought
But I thought you figured all this out last time when you hired
someone. I know, but then as
soon
as you think you have it figured out, it's different
all of a sudden
again, right?
Is that what it is?
So, so anyway, this was different because the hire in question, Oren Thomas, he writes. He writes stuff.
Who you redirect all
I could
your
redirect
docs
my
to.
Docs to him?
Yes.
Well, see, I haven't introduced Oren to the docs platform.
Perfect.
I need to...
Send him your Git for Gits and then do a PR and nice. Just reassign
and
all the docs
happens.
To him.
See what happens.
Half of them to Oren, half of them to Joey.
Well, in the coming weeks, I will be doing introductory meetings of the team over to the docs team. So I want to meet with JP. I want to meet with Carmen and a bunch of the different leads of the different documentation areas because I think that we can help out and provide some value and stuff like that. So he came on board, but he was one of the guys that actually transitioned from a vendor to a full-timer.
Okay.
Because he was a vendor doing stuff at Microsoft before, and then he became a full-timer when he joined the team. And that introduced a whole new bunch of wrinkles with regards to onboarding process. Because it wasn't a net new account creation that you would get as a new user in IT. You get the frantic email on Tuesday saying, why doesn't this person have the ability to log in? He started yesterday, that kind of thing. I was worried that was going to happen because I hadn't seen anything in my email saying that this new person, normally as a hiring manager, you get a notice saying, oh, the new person starts on Tuesday. Here's the user ID and here's the password information that you need to securely give to them to be able to have their first day. I didn't get that. And we're like freaking out in my internal list of different people saying, where's his user ID? Where's his password? What's going on?
They just rename and take away the VDash.
So what they did is they did a rename.
And that was it.
So they did a rename.
So he just logged straight in as normal.
But there's a rename. But then there's a whole whack of automated processes in the back end, or processes, if you're American.
To calculate the pronunciation.
Yeah. And so they would kick in, and all of a sudden, all his old groups got pulled out, and then new groups plopped in, but they didn't quite happen fast enough. So he was kind of
so he was in this kind of twilight zone
like,
where he was,
you know,
and
the,
he wasn't.
You know the sci-fi films where they have like the transporters, and you've got something go like the fly coming from one side, and he's like the fly sneaks in, and he turns into something on the other side. It was kind of like that.
Okay.
So he wasn't really a full timer, but he was missing a whole bunch of stuff. And then, of course, because it's Australia, the time zone difference, he's in the future, but he's really behind.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I don't understand.
That's probably it as well.
So anyway, he came on board. That was crazy, trying to get him on board and working, stuff like that. And then he's now, I believe, mostly stabilized. It's been a week.
So he's gone through the transporter.
He's gone through the transporter.
He's
been cleaned again. He's been rematerialized. So he's good, which is awesome. But then I've also been dealing with assisting my team, who's doing a stellar job at creating content for this little tiny thing called the Ignite Tour.
It can't be that hard. It's only like a couple of cities, right?
It's 17 cities. The first one is Berlin on December 6th and 7th.
Right, so it's just down the road.
So, yeah, but... So we're booking travel for this now. And
that's always exciting, isn't it?
No, it's
try
very
to use
exciting.
Our travel site and Amex and then expense reports.
But what's even crazier is that December 6th is... it's a holiday in Germany.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, they all go to the Christmas market or something?
It's I want to say it's
of, not of markets?
Maybe it's Sinterklaas or something like that. But anyway, it's some kind of a holiday. So that makes...
So you're starting the conference
it makes travel,
on the day of a holiday.
It's the day before or something like that.
Okay.
But it makes travel a challenge just because all the flights are all booked to be able to do things. Because
people are going home for the Sinterklaas festival?
You got it.
Okay.
So they're working that out, which is awesome. So... If any of my team are listening to this right now, you should be joining another meeting. It starts right now.
Yeah, exactly. I love how he said they are working that out.
They are working that out.
There we go. There's the manager starting to come through now. So, it's like I have people that work things out.
There is a team meeting that they should be at that starts right now.
So all of a sudden, the audience count is going to drop off.
Should I join it?
Yeah, join it and start trolling them.
It's an internal one. Yeah. It's an internal one. We don't do that.
I'm not saying I would broadcast. Do you want me to join and troll it?
Nice. I'll let them go to
buzzer.
See.
Have the buzzer.
There goes Wireless Life. He's on the way. There he goes. That's all good.
So is this how you keep track of your team as well?
What?
Does this go down on that Connect and stuff? Like they joined in to listen to my boss's show.
You missed four episodes last term.
So we need to have a conversation about
your priorities, my friend. That could work. I like that. Next segment of the show is known as Beer Money. Beer Money is tech support work that you've done for yourself, your family, your friends of family, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, your dogs, your friends' dogs, all sort of stuff, usually in exchange for non-monetary returns.
Okay.
Can you think of anything you've done in the last little while? What do you think? Have you done Beer Money tech support for your friends, family, or anyone else in the last little while?
Most people know not to try and ask me that anymore.
They don't. They stopped asking you. Why is that?
Yeah. They help out my wife. Well, actually, what's being kind of crazy is my oldest kid started kindergarten school, right?
Right.
And so now they're at the point where...
Are they doing tech support for friends?
not quite. I haven't quite got a trend that well.
Come on.
I haven't quite got a trend that well, but it was kind of interesting in that now they're starting to do stuff like on computers and tablets and things like that. And you don't have to like teach kids how to do stuff.
What do you mean?
On the computers. Like it's just
intuitive.
They just know how to do it now. And so there's this one like math game or whatever that she was playing, and they do it on a tablet. And since she comes home and she's got this piece of paper and she wants to be able to do it at home, it's like, okay. So I give her one of my computers, and I make sure it's one with a touch screen.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just instinctively, she goes to touch the screen. I mean, she would be screwed on yours.
Like
she,
is this not working?
Yeah, I don't know what she would do on yours. She would just be completely out of
luck.
Is
it like a Mac or something? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's just a MacBook. It's a MacBook Pro. But yeah, so she's been trying to figure that out. But they have their passwords. Are just
I'm trying
pictures.
To make it larger.
I know. Again, you're instinctively trying to touch things. So I've been helping her out.
Yeah.
That's probably the person that I've been helping out. Yeah, she's asking me for help. How do I do this? That's pretty much it. I there's not a lot of people that really ask me for help anymore.
What?
Yeah. I always came up with the line that I just work with service, and that was normally enough for people to just be like, oh, they didn't quite understand, and I could still take all the troubleshooting skills and help them out.
I just work with servers.
Yeah. I was just like, I don't know. Unless, I just work with servers.
Unless you got a vax in the back room, sorry, can't help you.
Mm-hmm, no. Pretty much.
Not good.
Yeah. Then we're going back away.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not that old, but...
Did you I saw on Twitter this morning that people were talking about the new Mac Minis that were coming out. Did you see the specs on those?
Mm-hmm.
And the
see the price on
Did
those?
You see the price on those?
Once you start getting up to those kind of specs, though, that's kind of nuts.
But it's like they're incrementally improving the hardware on them,
mm-hmm.
And it's like it's been 4 years since they've updated it. They're not even using cutting edge stuff.
But I don't get it. So years and years ago, I was big Mac administration. And in the server space, so X serves and then OSX server. And then they kind of deprecated the X serve line. And then they all but deprecated OSX server as well. And so I don't get these kind of high performance Mac minis that are billed as servers. Because it's like, well, what are you running? You're not running Mac OS on them anywhere. What are you putting on these things?
Mm-hmm.
And for the price of them, it's just like, yeah, I don't get it. I do still like some of the Mac hardware, but I don't know if I would down that kind of money and put it in a server room.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know if I would have a server room anymore.
They also just announced that they are no longer going to be breaking out the quarterly earnings and profits for all their hardware devices.
How much
right?
Well,
they aren't breaking out how many devices
gonna,
they make anymore.
Right,
they're
going
to do they're going to do like the price, but not send the number of handsets.
Right.
And I think that's probably because they put the price of the iPhone up by like $400.
Yep.
And so that their revenue stayed stable, but that meant the number of handsets must have gone down.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's how they...
No love lost there for me, though.
That's how a couple of news outlets were talking about that. That's how they're going to...
Mask it, basically?
Mask it.
Yeah.
Like, we've masked our Xbox sales.
Mm-hmm. It gets bundled in with other things.
Genesq7 was actually saying the last time he did tech support, he got money, or he, I don't know who he is, who this is. They got money plus coffee plus a burrito.
Well, there you go.
So possibly that's the way beer money it. Needs to be beer money and a burrito. Mm-hmm.
There
as
you
opposed
go.
To beer money. I could do that. I like mm-hmm. that. I would take a burrito.
I suppose, actually, so tech support would have to be exactly. So there we go. So you and your aquariums.
Yes. So
that would count.
Yeah. So
now there we go. There's a 10-minute conversation. No, let's just sit back and listen to him talk about aquariums.
He's been my mentor and my sounding board for aquarium style questions.
I'd probably say sounding board more so than mentor. So
you remember the official
answers he gets?
You remember the fish electrocution incident of last year?
Unfortunately, I do.
Yes. So
that was a fun one to try and troubleshoot.
Yeah. So we managed to get that resolved. There hasn't been a problem. Things are growing nicely.
Than Freddy the fish,
right?
Was it Freddy?
Freddy did actually. I found
so I shouldn't have
Freddy that jumped out and committed suicide. Uh-huh. He had a picture of that one there. He's a great looking fish. I love that fish.
It was a good looking fish, right? Until it jumped out.
Until it jumped out and became a dried thing. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that the dogs never found him.
Really?
So he was sitting there.
Not even Belly?
Dogs don't like sushi.
Just no interest.
That's what. There's a phenomenon. I don't know what they call this. Maybe they have a term for this in the aquarium industry, but where fish just disappear, like they're gone. Like the circle of life takes them. They hide in a rock and a crab gets them or something like that. They're just dead. They're gone. You have no clue that they're gone except for the fact they don't come out to be fed anymore.
Well, it's like, you know, there's this idea that goldfish have like really short memories and stuff. Yeah. So maybe they're just playing hide and seek.
Well.
Except they forget that they're playing hide and seek. They don't come out again. The other fish forgot that they told them to go and hide, so they don't go looking for them.
So I mention this because I actually discovered a mummified carcass of another fish.
As you started moving out the live rock?
No. What happened was it was actually he or she had jumped out of the tank.
In bandages and stuff?
But Fred went forward. This guy went backward.
Oh, down the back of the
tank? And so he went down the back of the tank in the crawl space between the tank and the wall. And I was out there cleaning up some salt because salt kind of creeps over the side sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this.
That's a big chunk of salt.
This stick thing. I'm like, how the heck did a stick get back there? I go and I take it out and it's like this poor little mummified carcass of a fish that is. That was found. So I found my missing fish.
So a fish
that was
stick.
There.
Did you dip it in ketchup?
You could have eaten it, I guess. Mm-hmm. It would have worked. It would have been a good dog treat.
It would have been dried fish.
Dried fish would have been awesome.
Now all you can think of is a fish called Wanda.
Yeah. So
the fish that went Wanda.
The fish. So the issue that happened just recently, and this was something I was going to share with Joey, but Joey's no longer on the call. He can't hear us anymore. Which is funny. I have a 55-gallon tank right now, and I was cleaning it the other day and getting ready to add some more water to it, and I noticed that there's a crack at the back support brace that goes to the front. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that for the last couple of days, it was getting harder to open up the top. Mm-hmm. And I realized the reason why it was getting harder to open up the top was because the sides were squeezing in to stop the top lid from opening because the support brace had snapped off.
And this is like critical in an aquarium.
I didn't realize how critical this is.
He's texting me at like 10 o'clock at night and he's like, hey,
is this important?
He's like, hey, so is this important? I'm like, what's important? Send me a picture. He sends me a picture of the broke. It's like,
it's literally hanging in the water.
It's only important if you don't want 55 gallons of water all over.
So
the
only thing
house.
That was keeping my entire 55 gallons of water.
And you kept opening
was the lid. I kept on opening the lid up. Maybe I just need to reposition it, like lift it up and then put it back on again.
Boom.
The whole thing would have gone whoop, shboosh, and 55 gallons of water in the floor.
Mm-hmm. So, you got a shop vac.
So luckily, I consulted with you and I said, what should I do? And he's like, well, better clamp that thing up
really
before
quickly.
It breaks.
So then I got another picture of this massive clamp.
So I've got this.
Top.
I've got this big woodworking clamp.
Is this why the wife went away for the weekend? Because she's just like, I want nothing to do with this clamp.
She's thankful that the 55 gallons of salt water didn't go on the floor.
That's true.
But basically, I now have this big, large woodworking clamp. Mm-hmm. But there's probably about 8 inches of a metal black bar
that just like hangs
out
the front
of it. Mm-hmm. So as a safety precaution, I put a red Roots mitten on the end. So I've got this big mitten sticking out the front of the tank so that no one walks into it because I've already walked in it three times.
You can impale yourself
Right in your chest. Mm-hmm. But I did find a new tank. And then you also consulted with me.
You got a heck of a deal on that.
I found the tank
that
was being sold.
I am a little jealous of that one.
Yeah, so the tank is probably about $2,500 worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a larger tank, but it has a sump and a refugium and a return valve and all this technology. I have no idea how to work. Mm-hmm. That I picked up for $200 bucks. $2,000 tank for like $200. Mm-hmm. I had to rent the trailer, go off and get it. I brought it home. It survived the trip home, which is mm-hmm. awesome. I set
it
up.
Did you need a plasma cutter to get it?
No plasma cutter to be able to make this thing work. But then you gave me the advice of you should set it up in your garage.
Yeah, don't just go put that threat in the living room.
With water.
Yeah.
So I filled it up with water. I filled up the pump with water.
I just had visions of him going out and buying this new tank and then having one tank that then, you know, leaks water everywhere. And then your old tank breaks.
It would not work.
So then you're sending me a picture. Well, now what do I do? It's like, oh, I got nothing.
So how many? It comes in clean. It's not leaking. Mm-hmm. It's all good. However, Kelly took one look at it that evening and says, nice tank. It's not coming in the house. I'm like, why?
Womp, womp.
It's like, the stand, no. Stan's not coming in the house. So,
but you got really quick shipping on the one that you want.
Yeah, so she found a new stand that she ordered and is on the way. But unfortunately, it's not with Amazon, so it's taking, you know, slow boat from China, I guess, to get here to be able to do it. So
but
eventually,
it'll look nice when
eventually I'm going to have to invite you over for some beer to be able to help me ensure that I'm setting it up correctly.
Fair enough.
To make it all work. Mm-hmm. And we shall have a fixed tank with no breakage.
With no breakage
So should I be sharing the patch and switch Twitch stream ID to your son?
Just in
to
case.
Be able to
we can set up a time delay camera.
Yeah, we'll set up a webcam
as
this
as
weekend.
Things happen.
Yeah, so we can set a little countdown and we can start a pool going on how long it will be before he soaks himself in water. Or
either
something
soaks myself or
electrocutes
myself is probably the easy one, or electrocute the fish. Yep. The three options we're going to have on the pole.
And you've got prior experience in that one, so you know what not to do now. You know what to look for.
To do. Mm-hmm. What's the importance of a drip loop anyway? I don't understand why that's important. Now I do.
Now you do.
Now I do.
Now you do.
However, no one's half the battle.
And why you don't have glass heaters next to rocks.
Yes.
Yeah. Combination of the two. Yeah.
Vizio MVP guy says, start a pool.
There's the dad joke.
Nice. Yeah.
And by the way, we still have Joey listening in on the mobile app.
Oh, wow. I like that.
He's just trying to be fancy.
I know, eh? Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. He's being all modern on the tube with his Oyster card or Oster.
Oyster.
I think it's an oyster, isn't it?
Are you actually in London? I'm gonna be really kind of jealous if he is in London.
I think
if he's in Paris, I'm gonna be a lot less interested. But if he's actually in London,
yeah. Yeah, we need his photo, or it didn't actually happen.
Yeah, exactly. Pixel didn't happen.
At sign, patch, and switch. We'll make sure.
Yeah, go to Cock Foster's tube station and put it on Twitter for me, please.
We can get there.
Oh,
we can get there. Any fun beer money support yourself, sir? You've been on call. That doesn't really count. Tech support for your friends
and family. I
would
hope he gets
actually
money for that.
Yeah, I hope I get paid for that one. Not a lot of tech support because I've been planning my trip here in November that I'm going to be leaving next weekend. So.
Oh, yeah?
Spending some time in Iceland again and the Netherlands and Germany and London.
J-Shock on tour.
J-Shock on tour.
Once again.
Yes.
Once
gonna
again.
Be heading to the Europe. This time, I'm gonna be heading to the Isles. I'm gonna be going up to London for a few days, spend some time with Simon and Mary,
right?
And then head up to Scotland, and then go to Dublin to work with my team in Dublin for a week.
Have you organized backup for your role?
Nope.
Dude,
we're
just starting to make this into a regular show again, and now you're gonna be gone.
Yeah,
you're not even here for the next episode.
Exactly. Or two.
You just can't get the staff these days.
Yeah.
You're going to have to hire Steve back.
Have to bring Steve back. That's what the problem is. You're not taking Steve on vacation with you, are you? He got a package. He got at least $1.380 times two.
Yeah.
Because he was with us for 2 months.
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, it does. $1.380.
And it's Canadian, so
it's Canadian.
Only worth half.
Yeah, so I don't know what it's like in euros.
I went to
like 17 cents, bro. Because if you pay people, in Canadian, that's not really going to work when you travel internationally.
God no. I was so last weekend went to the Angry Beaver, which is a great little restaurant in Seattle, and it's owned by, I guess, a Canadian.
Owned by a couple of Canucks.
Okay.
And every
I kind of figure with the name that it's probably going to be a Canadian.
I got poutine, which is awesome.
I like that you said that.
Yeah.
Good intonation.
Thank you. I've listened to you enough
nice.
On that one. When you get the bill, it actually shows you how much it was in Canadian. And I went, wow, the exchange rate sucks right now.
Could you pay in Canadian as well?
I don't know.
No?
They do accept Canadian Tire money, I do believe.
Really?
Yep. They do accept Canadian Tire money.
It would be a lot Canadian Tire, I bet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. good stuff. Good trip. Can't wait for the photos. They're always good. And stuff is going on.
Yep.
A lot of fun.
It should be good. I'm visiting.
But now I've got to, you know, Joey, he's still on the tube. We need to find an alternate audio person that knows how this stuff works. And did you finish the training documentation you said you're going to do?
Yeah, whatever.
Come on, man. Like, where's your integrity for the show? Good transition to handoff.
Well, pride in your work.
Yeah, pride in your work. What are you doing in a couple of weeks?
Hold on a second.
Would you be able to figure this
out? $1.380 Canadian, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. If the things stop changing in here week to week,
it'll be easier.
It'll be a lot easier, and I could write a document.
Yeah. We will be taking recommendations from the crowd for new audio engineers to be able to assist as a backup. The sooner you can nominate them, the sooner we can train them. Which
training.
Is good.
I bet you JFlow could do
paid training?
Maybe JFlow. I don't know if he's in the room or not. We'll have to find out. But I'll tap him on the shoulder and see what he's up for. And just for people noticing, in case you didn't notice, and Joey, because I am covering ourselves here to make sure that we've got some good guests lined up, I'm actually proactively reaching out to people.
I'm just calling them the day before saying, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So I'm going to start to forward our special tech webcast meeting request that we have to certain individuals to be able to join us. Meeting request. I didn't forward it to you because I just talked
really
to you last night.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and thank you for saying yes. That works. Next segment of the show, this is normally when Mr. Ledwig drops off at this point in time.
But he's already gone.
He's already gone? Okay, we're good. We're good to talk then.
Okay.
It's called Beer Talk.
Okay.
Beer Talk is about beer, stuff we've done with beer, or stuff we're making with beer.
Okay.
I'm going to kick this one off because I actually had a friend recommend a beer to me, and it's something that I want to go off and try. And I happened to find it at the local grocery store.
Okay, what is it?
Seasonal beer. Mm-hmm. It's by Deschutes Brewery, mm-hmm. and it is called Jubilale. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard of it? Deschutes?
Nope. I've heard of Deschutes. Yeah. I've never heard of the
Jubilale. Jubelale. Jubilale. Okay. They only make it, they reduce the volume of it to make it so it's more of a hot commodity. You have to go and find it. Mm-hmm. And she brought it up as something that she'd like to try to replicate as a recipe. I found a couple of clone recipes to be able to try to make it. It's a nice seasonal. It's got some nice spice and fruit flavor to it that comes off at the end with the finish. And it's all done by just the hops. There's no additions that are put into the beer, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there just happened to be a case of it, six pack, at the grocery store.
So six pack is definitely less than a case.
Yes, definitely less than a case. So I tried it out.
What's wrong with
not
six
too bad. Are you a fan of seasonal beer, or do you just prefer staple good stuff?
I'm kind of like, you know, the basic meat and potato kind of guy. So I'm just I like my regular beers. I don't like getting.
Are you a
fruity.
Hoppy guy or are you a malty guy?
I'm a hoppy probably.
You're
like hops.
You're more like
stuff.
An IPA
mm-hmm.
as opposed to traditional ale or a darker ale, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not so much a fan of the dark side, but IPAs, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
IPAs and then lagers. It's like an odd mix for me.
Mm, nice. Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I had an interesting beer the other day.
What's up?
I got a Left Hand Milk Stout on Nitro here in Seattle.
So Left Hand Milk Stout's my favorite milk stout right now.
Exactly.
That's the one I want to try to replicate.
And it's here in Seattle on tap over at the...
I'll pull up the beer app to be able to figure that out.
I had to remember.
Keep track of everywhere.
Yeah. Exactly. Tiku Tavern.
Tiku, never heard of it. Tiku Tavern.
It's on Denny Way. It's over kind of by the Space Needle.
Okay.
And it reminded me of Malt and Vine.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I went there with SharePoint Madam.
Is it like a bottle shop?
Yeah, they have a bottle shop and like 40 taps.
Okay, yeah, so it's like Malt and Vine.
Definitely like Malt and Vine.
That's the M&V boardroom. In case you get an invite to the M&V boardroom, mm-hmm. that's Malt and Vine.
No, so we could probably call this the TKT for the West Side folks.
There you go, that works.
And it was just like Malt and Vine in that we ordered a pizza in and they were saying, oh, you're Tiku Tavern? Great, well, we know where that's at.
Nice.
So... when you go to Molten Vine, they don't serve any food, so you can call.
Any welcome to deliver.
Everybody. All you have to say is, I'm at Molten Vine. We know where that is. We'll deliver.
Nice.
Cool.
So that particular milk stout got me into milk stouts. But I had it when I was in...
Denver.
No, actually, it wasn't Denver. It was Madison.
Oh, okay.
It was in Madison that I had that. Hmm.
I have not seen it west of Denver on tap. I've seen it in cans.
In cans, but
not on tap. And not only was it on tap, it was on Nitro.
Yeah, which is the way it should be. The way it should be.
It was awesome.
Very nice.
So good.
Have you had an interesting brew recently that you've
purchased?
Couple.
That I purchased or that I've been brewing myself?
Well, see, yeah, that's actually interesting. I want to get into that next.
Yeah, because that's it. Because I haven't really been drinking much. Bodyvasingas is probably the only thing that I found that about a month or so ago.
What?
It's Georgetown Brewing here in Seattle.
Yeah.
And it's just Bodies, but I think it's Bodyzinga or Bodyvasinga, something like that. Comes in a nice orange can.
Yep.
It's one of the few IPAs that my wife will drink because there's a bit more of a citra taste to it. And for whatever reason, she liked it. She's the one who actually said, hey, you should try this. I'm like, really? It's an IPA. You're asking me to try it?
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah. So that one's pretty good. But then, yeah, I've started brewing my own stuff the last couple of months as well.
So this that's is why I just like
you're scoffing at the idea of a six pack. It's like that's all I end up getting.
Yeah, so I return the favor. So basically, I ask him all the stuff about aquariums, and he asked me all the stuff about brewing.
It's actually a good trade.
But he's doing this the Mary Jo style. He's doing a gallon at a time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's on. So he's like, oh yeah, I brewed something up last night. I'm like, how do you do that? Oh yeah, you're brewing a gallon. So it literally takes him like 90 minutes to make a brew.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, it's about 90. Yeah, it's about an hour.
It's
and a half
lot of work for a small return, man.
Yeah, kind of, but you're not having to put the investment in terms of buying all the equipment,
so
buying all the ingredients.
So you're saying
exactly.
He's cheap.
We just talked. I had two young kids, of course. Yeah. So, it's that idea that I don't need to have 4 hours to brew. So yeah, I did.
So
that
you
I
put
did
the kids down for bed, they go to sleep, and then you can brew.
Well, so yeah, meant to put the kids down for bed.
Do they complain about the smell?
No, because
my kids complain about the smell.
No, they're meant to be asleep, but right to check it out. So last night it was kind of stormy here in Seattle, so it's kind of windy and rainy and stuff like that. So my wife and I are in the kitchen, we're brewing up this beer, and the dog's just asleep in the living room. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to be anywhere near the beer. There's nothing for him to eat. So I heard what I thought was just like a leaf or something that hit the window in the living room, and I just ignored it. And I kept on brewing. And about 5-10 minutes later, I hear this noise again. It's like, well, I wonder what that is. I'm going to, maybe, you know, like the dog's having a dream or something, and he's kicking the table. I go in, and my youngest one, who's just turned 3, is sitting in the middle of the living room playing with toys.
What?
It's like, you know, 2 hours after bedtime.
What?
And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm just playing with my dolly. I'm like, I see that. Why are you in bed? And so when we put her to bed, my wife went out to the store to get a bunch of ice so we could do the ice bath for the beer. Right?
Oh, see, you're getting helped.
Exactly.
See,
it's a partnership.
I can't get my wife to have beer.
So, you know, I'm putting them down. So we put them down, and the younger one will call out and say, no, mommy went to the store. She's not here. Oh, okay. So she went quiet. So she must have realized, oh, mommy's gone. And so she left it a little while, and then she came out. And she obviously like looked down the hallway, peeked around the hallway, couldn't see me in the office.
Start the Mission Impossible soundtrack.
Couldn't see anyone in the living room because we were in the kitchen. And so she said, oh, sweet. And so she went. So I have no idea how long she was hanging out in there. And she's like, that's brilliant.
Nice.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, so we can brew on a school night. It's great. It's very dangerous. You have a drink or two and you brew.
Right.
And that's it. And you're all
done. Sudden it's 6 a.m. You're like, wow.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like being on call, isn't it?
Nice.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no. Being on call is much different than that.
Yeah. No airline pilots. You can't go to work after you've been drinking.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, that too.
So, yeah. So, last night it was it a Cascade Pass Pale Ale? And then a week or so ago, I bottled up Chinook IPA.
Not bad. Not bad.
And it's just like, you know, 8, 9, 10 bottles. That's all you get out of a gallon batch.
Right.
But I mean, it's pretty quick to do. But I'm already now. I've already now got the bug. So
that's
I
how
said,
it starts.
I said I'm gonna
need
like
to
one more.
U-keg.
Yeah. The U-keg
then you don't have to bottle.
Yeah. That's.
I never even thought of that.
That's
dude.
My problem. What's the U-keg?
Oh, okay.
I don't want a bottle. Yeah. That's why I don't. I don't want to keep doing 1 gallons. I want to do 5, but I don't want to deal with.
So the U-keg is literally either a half gallon or a full gallon size that takes a 18 or a 16 or an 8 or a 16 gram CO2 cartridge in the lid. You fill up the container.
Is that the Growlerworks?
The Growlerworks U-keg.
No. Okay.
You turn it on, and then you pressurize it, and it actually pressurizes the beer, and it stays fresh.
Do you have a gallon version?
I have a gallon version.
See,
I could loan it to you to try if you wanted
Maybe if I can try
it. Hold on, that's what we make the Moscow Mules in.
Well, true.
Because
it has a little bit of a ginger taste to it right now. You might have to have a beer or two go through it to make it cleaned out. But so in case you guys don't know, tomorrow is National Learn How to Brew Day. And so I am going to be calling a brew day at the brew house. I know you're just coming off a call. You might not be getting up in the morning, but the brew house is open. Anyone in Redmond that would be interested to be able to come out.
It's not going
to
be that early in the morning,
it's
right?
Not going to be that early
I'm
in the morning.
I'm not planning on being there that early in the morning.
So I'm going to be trying to replicate the milk stout recipe, 5-gallon batch, probably late morning time frame. I don't even know if Joey's not going to be making it in time because he's going to
unless he gets on a plane.
Unless he gets on
the
plane right now, he's not.
He might be interested enough.
Yeah,
no, he's going to BrewDogs.
Yeah, he's not going to care. So you should come over for that.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in. We're going to do it. I'll let you know how it goes. For anyone that's there. I haven't really. Well, I've found a recipe for this Jubilee stuff that I'm now interested in doing some more research on. I'm not quite sure if I've bought into the one. The winter seasonal beer that I like is actually by Alaskan.
Yes.
With the Spruce Tip.
Yes.
Beer.
So Alaskan was like one of the only beers that I drank for years and years because I was up there.
Because you're up in Alaska.
You don't
have a choice. It's like being in Canada. All you can drink is Molson's, right? So.
What about Labatt's Blue?
Oh, that too.
Depending on where you are. It's like two really bad beers. Which bad beer do I want to drink tonight?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but Alaska is not
no Kokanee.
No Kokanee. I think I just threw up my mouth a little there.
Mm-hmm.
Spruce Tip is the one I like.
Yep.
Or it's going to be Lagunitas Brown Sugar. Okay. They have a nice one that's quite nice too. So not too bad. Interesting.
Did you like this Jubilation whatever to then brew 5 gallons of it?
Well, see, we have a. Our recommendation is that you don't make your first batch more than 5 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be able to reproduce it, in case you do like it, you need to make a 5-gallon batch.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure out how to scale that down to a 1-gallon batch.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I would commit to be able to buy the equipment to be able to make a 5-gallon batch.
Okay.
I think yes. Thank you very much, J-Shock. J-Shock gave us the reminder inside the chat room. That we're looking for 3 work safe words that are used for naming the show. Random words from those that are still inside the chat room. That'd be great to have. Help yourself and just slightly type them in there.
I don't know if we can use the second one.
Yeah, I don't like that second one there. I don't know what that is. So
it's a station that
it
he
is
mentioned.
It is a station that you mentioned.
Okay.
There we go.
Inside the room. But we have one quick last segment to be able to talk about because you already know what mine is. It's called random spending.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did random spend on the aquarium. That's the one I'm going to choose as my easy one that I haven't done recently. And, of course, as you buy any new item, you have to buy new accessories to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought some new filter socks. I bought some new return hoses. I bought a new stand to go with it. So this $200 aquarium is rapidly raising itself in price.
Yep.
I'm going to have to buy some live sand. I got to buy some algae thingies, liquid cephalopods or something like that to put inside the tank. I don't know, snails and crap.
Is that one of the random words?
Yeah. So
we got the 3 words already.
Okay, that's good. What about, have you done any random spending? Normally it's tech stuff that we talk about.
So very nerdy. I got a little IoT Arduino. I can't remember exactly what it is, like a CP21 or 2 or something. It's a little Arduino with onboard Wi-Fi. It's like $8.
Right.
And part of that was kind of aquarium related as well.
Mm-hmm.
I had an old aquarium in the garage I hadn't been doing much with, and I thought, oh, let's set that up. And so my wife was like, well, what do you need? I was like, well, I probably just need a heater. I've got all the other equipment, but then it's the same thing. So it went from a $30 heater to a $250 order. By the time you add in all these other things. So the Arduino is the one that I'm really kind of most excited about. It's got built-in Wi-Fi. So I'm going to try and hook it straight into Azure IoT and have a little temperature sensor on it.
Oh, nice.
So I've done this in the past, but it's normally been on a big, like a full Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
And this thing's like, you know, $8. It's tiny. And try playing around with that.
Like it. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Any quick RAM spend from yourself there, Mr. Shock?
I bought a new checked bag.
Wow.
He's traveling so
exactly.
much.
Exactly. Living life.
Yeah.
Show on the road and new checked bag.
I got, you remember I had that Giro bag.
Yeah, that's the one with the built-in batteries and battery chargers.
Exactly. They now make a bigger checked bag that it's got all these compartments. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Easy to travel with.
Great for the bomb-sniffing dogs to go through.
I was going to say, did they let that on the plans?
Yeah,
They
now have warnings that say, if you have a smart bag these days, make sure you're aware of the batteries being disconnected. and crap like that.
Okay, so.
No, we don't have time to go into this right now. We are about to wrap up the show. I do want to do a shout out to the folks that are inside the room. Yep. If I can try to read these names. I don't know how Joey does this.
Yeah, no kidding. Here we go. Hold on. Let's get the band going here.
Yeah, you got it. You get the music going there. We've got Absablog and Lutely, Apricot Fruits, Chuck Rocks Canada, Commander Roots, DRS by Life,
Desired by Life,
Janus Q7, Mr. Blacksway, good to see you there, my friend. On-prem Cloud Guy, Shady Panda, SharePoint Madam, nice to hear from you again. Skinny Seahorse, Slow Cool, I can't read these things. Scare Fisker, VNK,
Sword Fisker.
Keep them on.
VNK, Virgo Praz, Visio MVP Guy, and
as well as there. Thank you very much for joining us, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, it's been
a lot
of fun.
I don't know how to get my way out of here now. But
join us again in a fortnight for another episode.
Which could be exciting.
Of the Passion Switch, but we have no idea if we're going to have audio or anything
else
like that.
No, it might just be tin cans and a piece of string.
So, you know what? Mm-hmm. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Cheers.